Begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah, daf Chav Gimel. Begin 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the Gemara explaining the Mishnah which began in the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah explained different cases which possibly would be possible, saying that they're kosher nonetheless. Now, one of the cases that were mentioned beginning the Mishnah was that a Sukkah that's on top of a ship, a Reisha Svina, is going to be kosher. So on that, our Gemara asks, Mani Masnitin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah like in regards to that it's saying that a Sukkah on top of a ship will be kosher? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, it's Rabbi Kiva. The Tanakh, the Brisa, that actually it's a machlekes. The Brisa says, if someone makes a sukkah on top of a ship, Rabbi Lila Paisley says it's invalid. Rabbi Kiva Machshi says it's kosher, and therefore our Mishnah says kosher like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, there was once an incident with these two disputants and this halacha, Rabbi Lila and Kiva, that were going on a ship. Rabbi Kiva of Asa Sukkah, Bereshah Svinah, Rabbi Kiva got up, and he made a sukkah on top of a ship so he can become the mitzvah sukkah. So the next day, the wind came and blew it and uprooted and demolished the whole sukkah. So Amigmulah said to him, he says, Akiva, heichet sukkascha, Akiva, where's your sukkah? Thus illustrating to him that this is not a proper sukkah because it cannot withstand the winds that are here by the sea. And that's why Amigmulah held that it was not a good sukkah. Akiva held, nonetheless, it was a good sukkah. Now, Abaye explains this machlekes. That's elucidating this machlek. It says, the Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, let's say this sukkah was so fragile, was so delicate, that it wouldn't be able to withstand even a regular wind which is on dry land, then like Klomai. Even Rabbi Kiva would agree that it wouldn't be nothing because it wouldn't even be the lowest category of a deer sarai. It wouldn't even be a temporary deer. It would be nothing because it can't withstand just a regular wind. Even according to Rabbi Kiva, that wouldn't be kosher. If it could withstand even an uncommon, meaning an extraordinary strong wind by dry land, which is the equivalent of a regular strong wind, which is normative for the winds by water, by the sea, so there even Rabbi Mli would agree that it's just a sukkah, even though it's Bereshah Svinah, but it's so strong that it would be kosher. Ki peligi, Sabai says, when is it that they're arguing regarding making a sukkah on the ship? That's b'dichayla lamed beruach metzudi abasha. This sukkah that's being constructed would be able to withstand a normative wind when it would be on dry land. But v'enichayla lamed beruach she'en metzudi abasha, but it cannot withstand an uncommon, extraordinary strong wind on dry land, which is the same as a regular wind when it's on by the sea, which is the case when it's by the ship. With there, Lil Savar, he holds it going to be puzzle, because sukkah, dearest karabinan, the sukkah has to be, as we've mentioned this machlekes previously, regarding what should be the criteria of a sukkah, he holds it has to be a dearest karabinan, has to have permanence. Now, v'kivin de'ene chay lamed beruach mitzur diyam, since it cannot withstand just a regular normative wind when it's by the sea, which is what a ship is, so like klumi, it's nothing, it's not a kavua, it's not permanent. Rabbi Kiva Savar, he holds it's going to be kosher because sukkah's dearest arayin, and all the sukkah has to be is at least a temporary dwelling. But Kiva Nechay Lalam Beruch Mitzuy, the Abasha, since it could withstand the regular normative wind on dry land, which is enough to qualify something as a dearest arayin, sure it's going to be kosher, so even though it cannot withstand the regular winds by the sea, but that would only make it qualifying as a dearest kava. But to qualify as Dir Saroy, all has to do with withstand regular wind on dry land, and that it could. So even on the Svina, it's going to be considered a Dir Saroy, which is enough for a sukkah to be kosher. One of the cases I mentioned that's going to be kosher is Oyal Gabi Gamal. If the sukkah was built on top of a camel, such a sukkah will be kosher. So again, the Gemara asks, Masnit and Mani, that part of our Mishnah, who does that go like? Because as the Gemara explains, that's also Machlaikis, and that the Gemara says, Remehi, must be that the town of our Mishnah is like Remehi, or the town of Luna Brisa. If someone makes a sukkah on top of an animal, for example, let's say he puts two doors on top of horses, which then becomes the ground of the sukkah, and then he makes on top of the horses, he makes walls and a schach. So then we have a machlekes, Reb Meir Machshir, he says kasher, and hence he's the town of our Mishnah who says you can make a sukkah on top of a gemal. Reb Yehuda Pais Yehuda says it's going to be invalid. Now the Gemara explains, so my time to Yehuda, what's the reason Reb Yehuda that what's wrong with such a sukkah? Who cares that it's built on top of an animal? So Makrei says, because it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Chaga Sukkos Tas L'Chashivas Yam. The Yantav of Sukkos, which inherent that means says that to make a sukkah, should be for you for 7 days. Now, what that means is, Sukkah Haru'uya L'Shiva Shema Sukkah. It's only a sukkah that's fit, this exact sukkah will be eligible, will be valid for 7 days. sukkah she'in arui l'shiva, lo yishma sukkah. A sukkah that cannot stand, that's not usable for 7 days, is not considered a sukkah. Now, since in this case where you're building the sukkah on top of an animal, and the Rabbanan made a gezer drabbanan that one's not allowed to go on an animal on Yom Tov, so you see obviously it's not fit for at least the first day of the 7 days. So therefore that's not considered a sukkah's tasluch shavas yamim, because it's not fit for 7 days because you can't go on an animal on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Remeir, what does Remeir do with that pasuk? He says, Hanami. He says, no, it's not true. This case also, when you're building on an animal, midereisa mechzachazia, biblically, which is what the qualification of what the pasuk is, which is written in Torah Shavik Sav, is eligible. It is fit to use such a sukkah. It's only for Rabbanu Huda Gazri, but it's only an isid Rabbanan of going an animal. So hence, yes, you wouldn't be able to technically go on such a sukkah rabbinically, but it is considered sukkah taslach shabbos yamim because it is eligible. It is valid minat Torah, and therefore that would be considered a kosher sukkah to use at least on the rest of the days when you can go in such a sukkah. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that seems to be the exact opposite of the opinions of Remeir and Yehuda that we just quoted regarding the utility of an animal for the sukkah. But the case that we were just discussing was the case of our Mishnah, which was when you're building the sukkah on the animal. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that talks about using an animal in a different sense. Asol lebehema doifin lesukkah. If you want to use the animal, not as the floor, so to speak, to build on top of the animal, but rather you want to use it as one of the walls of the sukkah. So the Gemara says that Remeir Paisel, in this case Remeir would hold it's invalid. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir and Rabbi Yehuda would hold at its kosher. Now what's the reason for this? So Remeir, because Remeir said, and especially since Remeir doesn't have a problem with the animal factor of that it's that you can't go on the animal on Yom Tov, it's still considered biblically Tas L'Choshevas Yamim, but he says that there's an inherent problem with using the animal as the wall. Because as Remeir said, Kol Dovah Sheish B'Ruchayim, anything that has in it a living breath, Ein oisnoi, so you're not allowed to use it for any of these following halachas. Loi doifin l'sukkah, you can't use it as a wall for the sukkah, which is the case that we're discussing, and therefore he holds it going to be pasul. V'loi lechi l'mavi, you're not allowed to use it as a side post for a mavi. Now, the halachas of mavi are regarding the halachas of Erevin, that if all the chatzeris joined together with what's called shituv mevayis, they're joined together in this mavi, so you're allowed to carry in throughout this entire area. But that's only by the edge of the mavi, separating that from the Rishus Ram, you made either a lechi, a side post, or a kaira, a beam. Now, side post just has to be a very thin stick going up by the entryway. You're not allowed to use an animal to just stay there to show that this is the where the mavi ends, to use them as either a machitza or a hecker as the lechi. B'loi pasin libirois, you're not allowed to use the animal either for boards for the wells, which as the Mishnah says in the Masech Deseirim, the Yedzayim and Beis, that they would make pasin boards for the wells, which they were for what's called the yumdin, which are these L-shaped brackets on the four corners surrounding a bar that's in Rishus HaRabim, because the problem was is that a bar is 10 tefachim deep, which makes it a Rishus HaYachid, and you can't fill up from that bar to feed the one's animals which are surrounding it, because that surrounding area is Rishus HaRabim. So what they would do is that because of the leniency, the necessity of the animals of the Oyler Regal and those who were coming up 3 times a year to visit Yerushalayim, they permitted these subpar walls, which are 4 diyumdin, they would make these 4 L-shaped brackets on the 4 corners, and that those halachas are discussed in Masechtas Erevin. But what Remeir is saying is that you cannot use any of these diyumdin, these to make one of these corner posts out of animals, out of things that are living, as the Gemara will later on explain the reason why one cannot use an animal. Legoy lekever, also an animal, anything that has a living breath in it cannot be used. It will not be part of the halacha of a goylil, which is a cover for a kever, for a grave. And that is, if, let's say someone made a cover for a coffin of a dead person, that will not qualify that living thing as a goylil, which means the cover of the coffin, to be able to contract tumah. As the Gemara explains elsewhere, that a goylil, which is again, which is qualifying in this halacha of a covering for the coffin, it can be contract tumas maga of touch or masa of carrying or oil in the same tent, as the Gemara explains in the Braisa of Masechta Schulin, that says in the pasuk al panei hasada, which includes the geila and the daifik. So although generally the cover of the coffin could contract tumah, that will not apply if that covering is made out of something that has a living breath. And those are all the different things that apply to that. Mishum Rabbi Yisai Glili Amru, the name Rabbi Yisai Glili, they said that af, another halacha, which is invalid if it's done through a living thing, ein kaisno lav gitei nashim. You cannot write a divorce document for a husband divorcing a wife on an animal. So let's say he takes an animal and he writes on it, Hareid, that you're divorced. He writes the whole divorce document. He gives it to that. That will not be valid. As the Gemara later on will explain what's the reason why one cannot use an animal as a divorce document. So again, so we see clearly that this idea of this machlokes between Reb Meir and Behuda, the Reb Meir says one cannot use the animal as the wall of the sukkah or for neither of one of those items. So the Gemara asks, my time with Reb Meir, what's the reason of Reb Meir why a living thing, in this case an animal, would be possible to be used as a wall for all those different halachas of walls, and specifically what we're discussing in our sugya as a wall for a sukkah? So we have machlokes. Abayir Amar Shema Tamas. Abayir says the reason why a mayor holds that an animal is possible to be used as one of the walls of a sukkah is maybe the animal is going to die on Yom Tov. Then it's going to collapse because it's dead, and it's not going to be a wall anymore, and it's going to come out. You're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Now the Gemara later on will ask, however, one of the cases, that of the Gailul, is actually a leniency. In other words, if you hold that the animal is actually a mechitza, it's a barrier, it's a wall, and it's just because we're concerned that it might die, why do we say that, at least when it's alive, why do we say that it's not going to be considered a gail if it should be at least l'chumra it should be? It's just that we're concerned that it might not last. It should be a gail even though it's a living thing. Now that's a biased interpretation, because it might die. Reb Zeir Amar, he says the reason why Reb Meir says you can't use an animal as a wall for the sukkah is shema tivrach. Maybe the animal's going to run away. If it's going to run away, you're going to be without a wall. So those are the two reasons of the concerns, although it seems like that they are eligible to be walls, they are separation, but either it might die or it might run away. So the Gemara explains this machlekes. Bepil kasher, by an elephant that's tied down, where there's no concern that it's going to run away, kuli almi, everybody agrees, whether according to Abai's interpretation or Reb Zeira, that loy pligi, that they both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda don't argue that. Even Reb Meir would say that it's kosher to use that elephant that's tied down as the wall of the sukkah. Because according to both interpretations, there's no problem. Because even if the elephant will die and then it's going to collapse, but yesh b'nivlasa yud, even its dead carcass, the elephant's so large that it's going to be a height of 10 tefachim, which will be a valid wall for the sukkah. And obviously there's no concern about running away because it's tied down. Ki peligi, when did they argue? When does their argument manifest in the opinion of Reb Meir? Is bepil she'en akasha. That's in reference to an elephant that's not tied down. That is lamando amashem etamos. According to the one that says the concern of Reb Meir, that of Abaya, is that maybe the animal is going to die. So the chashinan, again, we're not concerned that even if the elephant is going to die, because its carcass is still going to have a height of 10 tefachim. Lamando amar gezer shem tivrach. However, according to the one that says that of Reb Zeir, that maybe it's going to run away, so chashina, we're concerned because it's not tied down. Another Gemara asks if that's the ramifications of their machlekes, but lamando amar gezer shem tamas, according to Abaya that says that Reb Meir's concern is maybe it's going to die, but necha shem tivrach, there should still be Reb Zeir is concerned that maybe it's going to run away, and even based on that itself, it should be possible. So you're right, there's no concern of death, but there's a concern of running away. So there the Gemara says, you're right, Ella, rather, bepil she'en akasher, regarding an elephant that's not tied down, kuli almi, everyone would agree that loy pligi, Reb Meir would not argue, and he would say that it's possible, because you're right, even though there's no concern about death, there's a concern about running away. Ki pligi bebehema kashura, when do they argue? It's manifest regarding a regular animal, not an elephant, that's tied down. And therefore, lamanda megzera shematamos, according to Abai's interpretation, that the concern is maybe it's going to die, so chashinon. Then we're concerned because it's not a large animal like an elephant. It's a smaller animal. When it dies, it's going to collapse. And it's not going to have a wall of 10 tefachim. Lamanda amar, gezera shematifach, but according to the Reb Zeir that says the concern is maybe it's going to run away, then loy chashinon would not concern because it's tied down. And since it's tied down, there's no problem. But the Gemara still asks, but Almando Amar Gezeira Shema Tivrach, according to the Reb Zeir that says the concern is maybe it's going to run away, and when it's tied down, there's no concern. But Necha Shema Tamas, but there's still the concern that maybe it's going to die, as we're saying by the case of when the animal is tied down, so it's not going to run away, but if it's going to die, it's going to collapse, and you're going to be left without a wall. So now the Gemara is asking the reverse. First it asked Abaya should hold the Reb Zeir, now it's saying Reb Zeir should hold the Abaya, and it should still be a problem. So the Gemara says no, because Misa Lo Yishchicha, this opinion holds that death is not common, and therefore even according to Reb Meir wouldn't be possible. The only concern according to Reb Zeir is that of maybe it's going to run away. So therefore when it's a regular animal, it's tied down, that's where the machlekes of Abaya and Reb Zeir is manifest. Abaya would be concerned because it might die. Reb Zeir, since it's tied down, it's not going to run away, he's not concerned about death because death is not a common thing to be concerned for. Now the Gemara asked in general regarding this idea that it sounds like that animals could be a mechitza, could be a wall. There's just concerns it's going to run away, or maybe it's going to die, and therefore certain cases, let's say if it's tied down, where it's not going to run away, it'll be a kosher wall. But the Gemara asks, "Bo ikar ravcha de beni beni." There's space all over these gaps in this wall of the animal between its legs, which it's open up. So even if it's alive, and let's say according to the one that says that it's because it's going to run away, so if you have an animal that's tied down, it's not a problem. What does that help? It's not enclosing the gap totally to be a valid wall. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. The avid lay that the person made a wall between the legs of the animal, behutza with palm fronds, bedafna, and with this the branches of a tree, which are called lurier in French, which has these fruits, which are called bais, which has bay leaves. Therefore, since he fills up the gaps together with the animal, then there would be validity. It's just that there are certain concerns that if it's going to run away or if it's going to die. But the Gemara still asks, but the marava, maybe it's going to lay down. So even if you'd say that it's not going to die or if it's not going to run away, but it still might lay down, and then you're not going to have a wall anymore. So the Gemara says, no. The mesicha ba'ashlim el, we're told that it was tied, hanging from ropes from above, it cannot lay down. But then the Gemara says, if that's the case, ulamanda megizir shema tamas nami, then even according to the one that says the concern is if it's going to die, so we say it's going to collapse, you're not going to have a wall anymore. Ha mesicha ba'ashlim el, but you just described that anytime the animal should have validity, and not be concerned it's going to lay down, it's because it's tied up with ropes from the top. So here also, even if it dies, it's not going to fall. So what's the concern according to the one that says it might die? Nothing more says, no, there is a difference between squatting, sitting down, and dying. Because zimnin, there are times that the height of the animal will only be a little bit more than 7 tvachim. And then what the person is going to do is he understands the halachas of mechitzes, he's going to put the animal less than 3 tfachim from where the schach is, and then, based on the principle of Lavid, it's going to be a complete wall of 10 tfachim. Now, however, and this is where the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, but v'kiv in the Maisa, but since if the animal is going to die, kavtze is going to shrivel up, it's going to shrink a little bit, which will then make the gap from the animal to the schach 3 tfachim, and then there's no more lavid, hence there's no more wall. But v'lava daite, the person who made this halachic wall is not going to notice this, to recognize it, to fix it, and the problem is, it's not going to be a valid wall anymore. Therefore, that is the concern of Abai's interpretation of Remeir, that gezeirus shemiyamos, even though it's tied up with ropes from the top, so there's no problem about squatting and sitting down, so therefore, when that's not a concern, but there is a concern of shemiyamos, because it's still might going to shrivel a little bit when it dies, and then it's going to make it a little bit further away from the schach, which will make it a gap of 3 tefachim, hence not a kosher wall. And that's why that, according to that man de Amar, that's going to be the nafkamina between Shema Tevach, where it's not going to run away, but Shema Tamas would be concerned, even though it's tied up with ropes, because then it's not going to have any more the halacha of lover, and that's going to be puzzle. Now the Gemara asks on Abai's interpretation of this machlekes between Remeir and Behuda. The Gemara asks, "Mi Amar Abai, did Abai really say this, that Remeir chayesh l'misa, that Remeir is concerned for death, and that's why that's how he interpreted Remeir's halacha, that you can't use a living animal as a wall for a sukkah or any one of these other types of walls. For Behuda Lechayesh, however, Behuda is not concerned for death, because that's obviously what they're arguing about, and therefore you could use an animal for a wall. Is that really the case? But now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that based on that resolution of that Mishnah, we see that Abai says to the contrary, that not Remeir is concerned and Behuda is not, but just the opposite. Because the Mishnah says as follows: Bas Yisrael shenisas l'kayin, a daughter of a non-kayin who's married to a kayin. V'holach b'ayla medin sayam, and her husband goes very far away on the trip. Now, acheles b'truma, she could eat truma, which means she's continuing to eat truma because the wife of a kayin could eat truma just like her husband a kayin, and she could continue eating b'cheske shukayim with the chazaka, with the previous default chazaka, which is the principle, halachic principle, that we say things are as they always were. And therefore, we assume that he's still alive, nothing happened to him, and therefore she can continue eating truma, because once he dies, she cannot eat anymore. Now, vermina law, but we pose the following contradiction on that from the following brisa. Now, the case of the brisa is talking about where the husband is afraid that he's suddenly going to die, or he's going to be in another city, and he's going to die. And if that's the case, his wife, who he doesn't have children yet from, is going to have chalitza, some type of a separation from his brother. So what he does is he gives her a get when he's still healthy and well, and he tells her as follows. He goes, look, I don't want you to have to be subject to this, to have to do chalitza with my brother, the fact that we don't have children yet. So hariza gitach, this is your divorce document to be divorced with. Sho'achas kared misasi, one moment before I die, halachically this will be transferred as in the halacha as a get, therefore you'll be divorced. And therefore, you won't have to get any more a chalitza, even though we don't have children, from my brother, because you're already divorced. You weren't my wife when I died. So on that, the Braisa says, Asur alecha b'trum miyat. So that makes her immediately prohibited to eat from truma right away. So therefore, if he's a kain and she's the daughter of a non-kain, we say even though she's his wife, she can't eat truma anymore. Why? Because we say maybe this moment, every moment, maybe this moment was the moment before he dies. And therefore, at that moment, she's already divorced from him. And therefore, any moment, he might die the next moment. So now that means you're going to be eating prohibited truma because you're not married anymore to a kain. Now, one thing that we see from this price is obviously that death is something that we're concerned with. And therefore, every moment we're saying maybe he's going to die. That means this is the moment before that. And if we're concerned for that, now that contradicts the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Because the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin said that, no, even if he goes on a faraway trip and who knows how many dangers he's encountering, you could continue eating truma when not concerned for something like death. Now, that's contradicted by the Braisa. On that, Vama Abaye said to resolve the contradiction, he says, Loi Kasha, the Mishnah and the Braisa are not a challenge for each other. Because actually, they're two different Tanoic opinions. Ha, the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says that you're not concerned for death was your mayor, Dolei Chayesh Lemisa, who he's not concerned with death. Ha, the Braisa that says that we're concerned with them, therefore she can't eat truma anymore because it might be the moment before death, is Rabbi Huda the Chayesh Lemisa that he's concerned with death. The Tanakh, like, and the Braisa that we see this parallel machloik is Rabbi Meir not being concerned with death and Rabbi Huda being concerned with death. That says in the Braisa, Halakeh Yain Mibin HaKutim. Someone purchases wine from amongst the Kutim. Now, as Rashi explains, this is obviously before the gzeri that we made that we're not allowed to have hana from to drink their wine, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Chul Navav Amaral. So before that gzeri, we were allowed to use and drink their wine. So now, if someone purchases wine from the Kutim, so Aymer says, he says as follows, he says, Shnei Lugin Shani Asad Lahafresh, regarding the 2 lug out of the 100 lugin that there are that I'm ultimately going to be separating for Truma, Harehin Truma, they already have a designation of a name of Truma now on them right away, whatever is inside of here, and that is generally Truma is 1/50th of what there is. So he has 100 lugin of wine. So now, as Rashi explains, this is either talking about where it's already almost Friday night, where you cannot anymore separate Truma, so you don't have time to go ahead and start separating, or you don't have any other Tahar Kalim to separate Truma and Maestris into them where you have to keep them Tahar. And therefore, what you have to do quickly is you have to do this process of delineating what is what inside. You're saying that, I know there's 100 lug, but in these 100 lug, I want to have 2 out of the 100 should be truma, and we'll continue what was done with the other ones. Now, Rashi just tells us that the reason why it said if you're buying from Kutim is because we wanted to say how lower and worse Kutim are than even regular Amaratzim. And that is generally by Ama Aretz, when one buys from an ignorant person that's not a Tamach Chacham, so there's halacha of what's called demai. And therefore, you have to, out of doubt, separate the maestras. But that's only out of doubt. Here, by the kuti, is a definite that you have to take off, not a doubt. And moreover, at least by the Ama Aretz, where they're not suspected, at least regarding Truma Gedayla, by the kuti, as we're finding in this first part of the case, where even by Truma Gedayla, which is 1/50th, even that we say that they didn't take off. And even that you're going to have to take off, which is not the case generally by Ama Aretz. So what the process is you say you go through all the different separations that are necessary to be taken off, and you say that what's inside should be considered as if they're separated and it's designated, it's earmarked for that. So you say 2 out of the 100 lugin are truma. Asara, 10 out of the 100 are maiserishin, are the first 10th that I'm supposed to separate, but I can't because I'm running out of time, it's almost Shabbos, or because I have nowhere to put it. Tisha, 9 out of the 100 are maisersheni, because after you take off the 10 of Maaser Rishon, you're left with 90, then a 10th of that is what's called the second type, which the Maaser Rishon is given to the Levim, Truma Gedolah is given to the Kehanim, Maaser Sheni is taken up by the person to Yerushalayim to eat by himself. But however, Umechel, what's different about Maaser Sheni, he actually deconsecrates that onto money that's outside which you have in, let's say, a drawer, because Ma'aser Sheni is something that you could be mechal, you could deconsecrate it, because generally that's the halacha, when you don't have to bring up all your produce to Yerushalayim, you could say, I'm being mechal, I'm deconsecrating the kedusha of this Ma'aser Sheni, the second tithe, on the money, you take up the money and you utilize that for eating purposes in Yerushalayim. So since you could deconsecrate it, you're mechal that on money that you have in your house. And then after you did this, where you said 2 out of the 100 in, somewhere inside over here is Truma Gedayla, 10 out of the 100, which is besides the 2 that's taken off Truma Gedayla, is Ma'aser Rishon. And then besides that 2 and the 10, there's another 9 that's Ma'aser Sheni, which ultimately you end up transferring that Kedusha onto money, which you don't have that 9 anymore mixing over there, and then you drink it right away. And what you're relying on is the halachic principle of what's called Breira, which means a retroactive clarification. So that, therefore, when you come to your house, then you go ahead and you separate, and you say that the halacha is yesh breira, that you say that now what I'm taking off, let's say when you go home and you have tar kalim, or when it's after Shabbos and you have the leftovers, the remnants of this bottle of the keg of wine, you take off 2 and say, oh, that was the truma that I had separated, and you take off 10 and say, that was the ma'aser rishon that I had taken off. And therefore, even though it was not removed when you were drinking, that's okay. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. We continue on top of Chav Dalam and Alf. Whereas Reb Yehuda, again, the disputant on Reb Meir, Reb Yasi, Reb Shimon, Eisrin, they say this process that Reb Meir described is forbidden. And the reason is because they say that maybe this noid, the flask, the wine flask, is going to burst. Therefore, you're never going to have retroactive clarification because you never ended up taking it off, because it burst and it just spilled out on the floor. And it comes out that what you were drinking was tevel, was untithe, because you never actually took it off. If you take it off and something happens to that, fine. Something happened to the truma, something happened to the meister, but what you drink is already fixed. But if you never took it out, only later will you take it out, and then retroactively you'll say that's what it was. But if later never happens, because let's say throughout Shabbos something happens, it bursts and it spills all out, then you're stuck. What you drank was tevel, which is an issur to drink tevel. Now, however, the question of the Gemara is that we see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for the bursting of the flask. Now, therefore, most definitely he'll be concerned for the death of a person. Whereas Rabbi Meir is not concerned for the bursting of the flask. That's why he says you could do that process. And therefore, the contradiction is on Abaya. How does Abaya resolve before in the Gemara that he says in the interpretation of Rabbi Meir why you cannot use that animal as a wall is because maybe the animal is going to die, and Yehuda is not concerned the animal is going to die. But we see Abaye himself in resolution of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, and the Braisa says, "Oh, that's not a problem. One's Reb Meir, one's Reb Yehuda." And as he illustrates from a different Braisa, which shows that they follow that parallel process of their shittas, which is what that Reb Meir is not concerned for death or for the bursting of a flask. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for, as we see, a bursting of a flask, and hence Abaye compares that to the death of a person too, that they are concerned. So how do we resolve Abaye? On the one hand, Abaye is saying that on the previous Gemara, that Reb Meir is concerned for death, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. And then later on, in the resolution of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, he says that Reb Meir is not concerned, neither for the bursting of a flask, or as Abaye then draws it further to the death of a person, and whereas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Tosfos Gemara answers Epoch. I have to say it's the opposite, that Abaye didn't answer as we had originally said. Rather, Abaye said the reverse, and that is Reb Meir chayish lemisa. Reb Meir actually is concerned for death. Rabbi Yehuda loy chayish lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for death. And that is when he resolved the contradiction of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and the Braisa, which one is saying that we are concerned for death, the other one's not. When he says that's Reb Meir, that's Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't mean, and that's because he wasn't coming from the Braisa of someone that purchases wine from the Kutim, that which would then be contradictory to the previous Abaye's explanation of Reb Meir. Rather, he was coming from a different Braisa, that of the one of Sukkah that we had actually mentioned on this daf, on daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned and Reb Meir is concerned. The time, like in the Braisa, which we had mentioned, a soil behemoth died from the sukkah. If someone made an animal wall for a sukkah, Reb Meir paisel, Rabbi Yehuda machsher. Reb Meir says it's going to be possible, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be kosher, and therefore we're maintaining Abaye throughout. Abaye is not self contradictory because it is, as Abaye had said, on Amud Aleph of Chav Gimel, where he said that Reb Meir says you cannot use an animal as a wall. Why can't you use an animal as a wall? Because Reb Meir is concerned for death, and which means the animal is going to die. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned. And therefore, it may, or essentially, Abaye says the same thing by the contradiction of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and the Braisa, that the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin says that you're not concerned for death. That's Rabbi Yehuda, not like the way we had said it previously. And the Braisa says that you are concerned for death. That's Rabbi Meir, and that it wasn't coming from the Braisa, which seems to say otherwise, which the Gemara on the coming Daf will on Daf Chav Dalam and Aleph will explain how we resolve that contradiction, where that, as we had said in the first version, that seems to indicate the reverse, that Rabbi Meir is not concerned and that Rabbi Yehuda would be concerned with death.